You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Said, I want you to first of all go with me to the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter. Notice Psalms chapter number 34. And as you begin to turn to Psalm 34, we are also going to look at Isaiah, the 57th chapter. So we're going to be reading in Psalm 34, going to read one verse of scripture in Psalm 34 tonight. And then we're going to travel to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 57. And we're going to read one verse of scripture, and then we'll give you our subject on tonight. Notice again, if you will, Psalms 34, and we want to call your attention to verse 17, Psalm 34 and verse number 17. Then we'll be going to Isaiah 57, verse number 13. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalms, again, 34. This psalm is attributed to King David. Notice Psalm 34, 17, David says that the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Notice that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them, or the righteous or the just, out of all of their troubles. And of course, we know that the word righteous is synonymous with the word just. Why is that word just or righteous so important? Because we understand that it is the just who live by faith. And so righteous or just people are known for having faith in God. A righteous man, a righteous woman is known for putting their trust in the Most High God. And when they cry out again, it is a prayer of faith. It is a cry of faith. Notice, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Notice that when the righteous cry out to God, they're basically doing so in Psalm 34:17. For deliverance. Notice there's some trouble taking place that the righteous are not able to handle in and of themselves. And because of that, they cry out to the Lord. And of course, the text says that the Lord hears and the Lord delivers them out of all of their trouble. And so that's what righteous people do. That's what we do as just folk. We look to God for deliverance. We cry out to him for deliverance. And our expectation is that he will help. Again, I want to say it. Our expectation is when we cry out, when we pray to God, and it is a prayer of faith, it's a cry of faith, then we have an expectation that God will surely help the righteous. And Psalm 34:17, it helps us to gain that understanding by knowing God's word. We know as righteous people, when we cry out, the Lord is going to hear and the Lord is going to deliver the righteous. Notice what the Bible says, out of all of their trouble. Now, we may not come out of all of our trouble on our timetable. We may not come out the way in which we desire to come out. But notice that God is going to grant deliverance to the righteous so that he or she will come out of all of their troubles. Now, notice in the book of Isaiah, because this is an interesting text, because in Isaiah 57, Israel, in this particular text, had actually stopped being righteous. They were not being righteous folk before God. And so I want to show you what took place with Israel that we might learn from them tonight when it comes to crying out for deliverance. I want to say to every one of us that whenever we are in trouble, whenever we need help, we have to be careful who we cry to. We have to be careful who we look to for deliverance, because often God's people will get on the wrong path. And yes, we will need trouble, but then we will get in trouble by who we look to deliver us from trouble. In other words, I can be in trouble, but if I look for help to come out of that trouble, and I look for help to the wrong person or the wrong thing, I can cause even more trouble to take place in my life. And so notice what happens again in Isaiah 57 and verse 13. Notice this about Israel. Notice what God has to say to them through the prophet. He says in Isaiah 57, 13, when you cry out, notice this, they're crying out, but notice this, the Lord say, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. But the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Notice that God is angry with these folk because when in trouble, they have not looked to the Most High. They did not look to God for help. They did not cry out to God for help, but they looked to their idols. They looked for their idols to deliver them. And now they're in trouble. And so God says to them, when you cry out, let your, notice this, collection of idols deliver you. There were many gods that Israel had begun to serve, and they had begun to be like the pagans. And the way the pagans were looking to, or who the pagans were looking to deliver them, God's people became like the pagans. They started looking for their deliverance to come the way that the pagans were looking for their deliverance to come. And of course, it was false deliverance because they were looking to idols, and idols are simply false gods. And so here God says through the prophet, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Don't look to me for deliverance, but look for your idols. Look for the thing that you put before me to deliver you. Look for the thing that you worship more than me to deliver you. Oh, Lord. And so with that being said, we don't want to put anything or anybody before God. We want to always look to God for our deliverance. We don't want to put nothing or nobody before God. If you're in need of help, look for God to help you. If you are in need of deliverance, look to the Most High. And when you look to him, cry out to him for deliverance and expect him to help you. Expect him to send you the help that you need. And based upon that, tonight's subject is simply a cry for deliverance. A cry for deliverance. I want to look briefly at the subject, a cry for deliverance. A cry for deliverance. And of course, when we again look at the word cry or to cry out, it simply again means to pray to God, to ask God for something. And tonight what we're looking at when Israel or God's people in Psalm 34 was crying out, again, they were looking to God for help. They were crying out because they were in need of help. They were in need of assistance. They were in need of God's aid. And it's interesting because when we look at the word deliverance or deliver, it's interesting when you study this word, and on the first occasions that the word deliver or deliverance is ever mentioned in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it has to do with to escape. It has to do with to escape. Whenever you go back and you look at Genesis 32, Jacob prayed to God and he asked God for deliverance. He asked God to help him that he might escape from the hands of Esau, who was determined to kill him. And so in Genesis 32, Jacob prayed. Jacob cried out and he asked God for deliverance, or he asked God to deliver him. And in Genesis 32, that word for deliverance, again, is the word to escape. He needed to escape the hands of Esau. But also when we look at Genesis around the 45th chapter, we see Joseph in Egypt, and we see Joseph allowing Jacob and the patriarchs to know that God had sent him to Egypt in order that he might give deliverance to Jacob and his seed. And even then, the word is talking about escape, because Jacob and his seed or family needed to escape a famine. A famine that if God did not intervene, it would surely wipe out his entire family. And so when we look at the word deliverance, I want us to receive tonight a definition that deliverance has to do with to avoid or elude a dangerous or deadly situation. When a person is in need of deliverance, they're crying out to God so that he can help them escape, that he can help them avoid or elude a dangerous or deadly situation. And I want to say to us tonight that every one of us can find ourselves going through something where we need God's help in order that we might escape, in order that we might come out of a situation that we know we cannot get ourselves out of. And somebody may be listening tonight, and you may be saying, well, Pastor, I thought deliverance and salvation was only when we first get saved. No, never think like that. Because after years of being saved, we still often find ourselves in something, tied up in something, wrapped up in something that we need God to help us get out of this. I need God to help me with this situation. Help me to avoid something that is dangerous or deadly. And so we cry out for him, or to him, for deliverance. Number two, when we look at the word escape, being that it is to get free from confinement or control. In other words, we need God to get us free from confinement or control. Because a lot of times saints will allow things to control their minds that don't need to control their mind. And if you are to get free, then you're going to have to cry out to God for deliverance. You're going to need to lift up your voice to the Most High in order that he can send you some help, that he might rescue you, watch this, and cause you to recover. Because a lot of times when we get in things and need God's deliverance, depending on how long we were caught in something, we might not only need God to deliver or to give us an escape, but I've had the time where I needed God not only to rescue me, but after going through what I went through, I needed him to help me recover whatever I forfeited or whatever I lost by trying to do on my own what I couldn't do. And I want to tell somebody tonight that he is a God who will help you recover. Don't sit there thinking that what you have lost can never be regained. No, because when God truly delivers again or causes you to escape out of certain things, he's also God enough to cause you to recover whatever you lost. And some of us have lost joy before. We've went through things and we just didn't have the joy that we once had. But we cried out to God. We wanted God to help us to escape the thing that were controlling are dominating our mind. And when we cried out to God, he not only delivered, he not only provided a way of escape, but then God caused us to recover everything that we lost. And that's the reason tonight some people have their joy back. They cried out to God for deliverance. Oh, come on, somebody. And he is a God again who will cause his people to recover whatever we may have lost going through a battle, going through a situation. And I love that about God, because when you look toward man for help, man cannot, it cause you to escape the way that God can. Man cannot cause you to recover that which you have lost. And sometimes people will tell you, well, what you lost, there's no way of ever getting that back. You might as well let that go. That's in the past. You lost it. It can never be recovered. But see, when you cry out to God for deliverance and you don't put any limitations on what he is able to do, I come to tell you that he will not only deliver, but again, he will cause you to recover. God is a God that will not only allow you to get back to where you was, but God will take you even further. Somebody needed to hear that tonight. He will not only cause you to get back to where you was, but God will cause you to go even further in the things that he has prepared for your life. But you have to cry out to him for deliverance. You have to look to the Most High for help. You have to understand that God hears the cries of the righteous. And so no matter what you may be going through, you need to look to him tonight. And you need to cry out or pray or ask God for deliverance. The same way in which Jacob knew that he could not naturally or literally handle Esau. He knew if he was going to escape again the hands of his brother Esau, then Jacob knew certainly, I'm going to need God's help. And I want to tell somebody tonight, what has you bound? If you're going to recover, if you're going to escape, then it has to be God to give you the help that you need. If you're going to get where you need to be financially, it's going to take God to deliver you. If you're going to get in the place that you need to be mentally and stop being nervous about every little situation that happens in your life, if you're going to get stability or become stable in your mind, you need deliverance. You need the type of deliverance, again, that man cannot afford to give you, because man is powerless to deliver in the way in which I'm talking about tonight. And I want somebody to understand me, that I know what I'm talking about. I know how to cry to God. I know how to look to him and have him deliver me or cause me to escape. And so this is what David says in Psalm 34:17. He said, the righteous cry out. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. The Lord listens to the cries of the righteous. Even in one passage, the Bible tells us that his ears are not too heavy that he cannot hear. Neither is his arms too short that he cannot say. See, God's ear is never heavy when it comes to him hearing from the righteous, from those who put their trust in him. But remember, if we are righteous, then we are just folk. We are faith walkers. And a faith walker always looks to God for his or her deliverance. And if you're looking to anything other than God, then you are not a faith walker. You are not just, you are not righteous. And we have to be careful, because sometimes we make the mistake of looking to somebody other than God for the help that we need. We'll run to others before we run to God. Many of you will even tell others about your trouble before you even tell God about your trouble. You know, sometimes you hear people say stuff like, I tell my best friend everything. Something wrong with you. If you tell your best friend everything, your best friend is your idol. Your best friend is the God in your life. Come on. Some folks say, I'll tell my spouse everything. Oh, no. When it comes to telling somebody everything, when you look at that word, everything, I'm going to tell somebody everything, that's God. That's God. That's a job for God. Only God ears needs to hear everything that's going on with me. Only his ears need to be tuned in when it comes to every single thing that's going on with me. But some of us, we get ourselves in trouble looking more so to somebody or something more than we do God. There are saints, they look to their job for deliverance more than they look to God. They think the help is going to come from the job without even acknowledging God in reference to whatever it is that they're going through. Whatever it is, they need a way of escape. They need some help. They need some assistance, some aid. Many saints will be online looking for help and ain't even talk to God about their problem. But yet they're Googling what they're going through. They're searching for an answer, but haven't prayed to the Most High, who gives answers liberally, who says to us, if any man lack wisdom, then let him ask. Let him ask. But if you start looking to other things before you look to God, again, you are putting yourself in a place where you are building idols in your life. You're building idols. And notice, according to Isaiah 57, Israel, God's chosen people, had what Isaiah described as a collection of idols. And remember, when you search biblically, of course, when it came to the pagans, they had different idols for different things. Whatever it is that they needed in their life. If it was crop season and they needed a good crop to come in, then they had idols that they trusted in for rain, that they trusted in for a good harvest. They had idols that when it came to fertility, they had certain idols that they trusted in who would help them to be fertile. When it came to protection, they had certain idols that these false gods would protect them from danger. But see, God never wanted Israel to set up idols. He never wanted Israel to put anything or anyone before him. And guess what, church? God ain't changed. He's still that way tonight. He still looks at his people, and he don't want us to put anything or anybody before him. Some folk make the doctor their idol. Come on, God don't want a doctor to be our idol. Some folk, if you say, well, I tell my pastor everything, then pastor is your idol. And understand, pastor is limited. Come on, somebody. You only go to people as God direct you to go to people. Oh, somebody need to hear me tonight, or else you will make something an idol. You can make money an idol. You can so trust in your money that you don't look to God to help you. And there will be things that you go through that your money will not be able to deliver you out of certain things. And so we have in our day and time a lot of folk that look to idols. They're like Israel. Notice again in Isaiah 57, they're like Israel. They have a collection of idols. And so he says to them, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Let them deliver you. Now, what is an idol? Number one, an idol, as I've said earlier, is a pseudo or false god. An idol is a pseudo or false god. And of course, when you look literally at what Israel had set up in the nation, they were dealing with statues of things that they had made with their own hands. And even all the way up to the day of Paul, people were still worshiping statues of things that were made by the hands of men. So much so that in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul looked at a group of folk and called their idols dumb idols. He said, y'all are being carried away with these dumb idols. Why did Paul call them dumb? He called them dumb because Paul wanted people to recognize your idols can't hear, your idols can't speak, and your idols can't do. Come on, but God hears. I said, but God hears the cries of the righteous. So there's never a reason for a child of God to set up in his or her life idols. There's never a reason that we need to look for deliverance, for help, for escape beyond God, thinking that he cannot do or he's unwilling to do. You can get yourself in major trouble looking for deliverance in the wrong places, looking for deliverance through the wrong things. And some of us know by our past experience, because we've often gotten into trouble looking for deliverance through something in a bottle, looking for deliverance in a person, looking for deliverance in a feeling, and it got us in trouble when what we needed to do was just simply trust God, just simply cry to him for the help that we needed and have faith that he'll do it. I said, and have faith that he'll do it. Let's notice something in the book of Leviticus about idols tonight, because I just want us to understand tonight that nobody needs to come before God. Nobody needs to come before God. We never need to put anything before God. And if we built idols, then they need to come down. They need to come down. If you say, well, Pastor, I often depend on a certain person more so than God, that needs to change. That needs to come down in your life so that you'll understand who God is on tonight. And you'll also understand that as his children, we are not to form idols. We are not to put anything or anybody before him, because we know about him that he will certainly deliver. God will deliver. God will send help to his people. God will cause his people to escape. He did it for many of us time and time again. But notice again, when we look back at Isaiah 57:13, he tells Israel, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. See, I don't ever want to be in a place where I need God's help, but because I've been ignoring God and because I've been looking to other things, God is not going to give me the help that I need. I don't want that type of trouble. I don't need that type of trouble in my life. Notice Leviticus 26:1. Notice we want to deal a little bit with idols real briefly. Notice Leviticus 26:1. Notice what he said. You shall not make idols for yourselves. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourself, nor shall you set up engraved stone in your land. Notice this, to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Notice that idols are man-made. Idols are created. People turn things into idols. And notice what he said, you shall not make or create idols for yourselves. See, when it comes to idol worship, we have to be careful. Because again, like it or not, if you get to depending on something or somebody more so than you do God, again, like it or not, that is an idol in your life. That is an idol in your life. And it is something that cannot deliver you. It is something that cannot help you in your day of trouble, in your time of need. And think about how sad it is that folks will be going through things, crying out to something, looking to somebody for help, that can't even help them, that can't even give them a way of escape. See, to me, that's sad. To me, that's a place that I never want to find myself in, looking to something to deliver me, listen to me, that don't have the power to deliver me. But yet I'm putting all my confidence in this thing. I'm putting all of my confidence in this job, which could be here today and then gone tomorrow. Notice back in Isaiah 57, he told them, let your cry out to your idols. Let the collection of your idols deliver you. Then he talked about how they're going to be blown away. See, when you depend on anything other than God, that thing can shift. That thing can move. Come on, somebody. Because many of us have depended on people, and then all of a sudden they walk out of our lives, or they were not able to help us because of something they were going through. And see, that's reading, it's bad to make idols, to set up idols, to form idols. Don't let the government become an idol. Don't depend too much on anything or anyone saving the Most High God. That's what he was trying to teach Israel. Because understand, God knew that Israel would look at pagan nations who would be doing all of these evil things for deliverance. And he wanted Israel to know that that's not something you need to do. But now notice the church. Sometimes the church will adapt the ways of the world more so than the word of God. And you see saints sometimes trying to come out of things the same way that a sinner came out. Come on. I know it's a little tough tonight. Look at Psalms. Look at Psalms 106. I'm still dealing with idols tonight. Look at Psalm 106 tonight. I know the word may be a little touchy tonight. But sometime in order for folk to get the help they need, idols have to come down. There has to be a repentance for looking to the wrong thing. Notice in Psalm 106 and then verse number 36. Notice Psalm 106, verse 36. Notice what the scripture says. Psalm 106, starting at verse 36, the Bible said they serve their idols. Notice this. They serve their idols. See, that's who they worship. That's who they worship. That's who they look to for help. That's who they look to for deliverance, for a way of escape. They served their idols. That word serving having to do with they was worshiping idols. They became idol worshipers. Woo! And that's so popular now day and time that people actually see folk who worship idols and think nothing about it. Some folk in the church will see idol worship going on and they'll even think, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, no. No, it's something bad wrong with that. We don't want to be idol worshipers. No, they serve their idols. This is what I want you to see, which became a snare to them. Notice their idols became a snare to them. Their worshiping of idols became a trap for Israel. It became bondage. It became a curse to them. Whenever you set up idols in your life, the idols you set up, the idols you look to will be a curse to you. Notice what the Bible said. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. The idols became a curse. And I'm going to tell you, when folk form idols in their lives, you have to understand, folk, you can have billions of dollars and still be cursed. You can be famous but cursed. You can hold a powerful position, a job, and yet still be cursed. And Israel found herself in a curse because of idol worship. And I'm saying to saints tonight, we have to be careful that when we look in our life, you need to examine your life. You say you trust God. You say you look to him. But look at your life. Really examine your life. And make sure that you do not look to idols more so than you look to God. Remember what the Bible said, cursed is the man who makes man of flesh his arm for deliverance. We have to be careful when we start trusting in things more so than God. Listen to me again. That thing becomes an idol and you serve. Notice that you begin to serve these idols. Notice what Israel did. They even sacrificed, verse 37, their sons and their daughters, notice this, to demons. They started doing everything they saw the pagans doing. To the point to where Israel started doing things that were just outright forbidden. Things that were an abomination to them, they started doing. This is how caught up they became with their idols. This is how caught up they became with their idol. This is how dependent they were upon the idols that they were worshiping for their help, for their deliverance. Listen, even though they would not have even been in the place they was in if God would not have brought them out. Understand that. Because some folk will have God bring them out and then they turn to idols. They act as if God did nothing. They start putting things before God, putting people before him. And see, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Notice again, verse 37. They even sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Know that they didn't mind giving their children to these idols. It's amazing when folks start putting stuff before God, they'll complain about what they give God. They'll complain about the sacrifice made to God. But then when they start sacrificing to demons, to idols, they do it with no complaint, even though they're not getting any help. And so was many of us in the world. Many of us, we gave all we had to the work of the devil with no complaint. Most of us stayed broke because of our idols. We stayed broke. But now here God is blessing us the way that he is. And you think I'm going to put something before him? No, I can't afford to. I can't afford to put nothing or nobody before God. Notice this in verse 39. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Notice that. Notice that. They were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Notice that these idol worshipers actually defiled Israel. It actually polluted them, caused them to become unholy. They were set aside for God's use, for God's purpose, until they start putting things before God. And when they start putting things before God, these things defile them. See, I don't want nothing to defile me. I don't want nothing to contaminate my faith. That's the reason I search myself to make sure that I'm not putting anything before God. I make sure that when I'm in trouble, that when I need something, I make sure that I look to God, that I cry to him for help, for direction, for wisdom, for healing, for money, whatever I need, I'm going to cry out to him for deliverance. Why? Because he hears the cries of the righteous. And see, I want to say to somebody tonight, there is no reason, there is no excuse to put anything or anybody before God. Because if you do, you're headed for a big disappointment. Because your life would not get better, but it's certainly going to get worse. Back in Isaiah 57, before we get ready to close it tonight, notice what he says again. Notice what he says again. He said, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Let it help you. And see, here's the thing. People think God will always hear. Well, God gonna always hear my prayer. Who told you that? See, there can come a time to where God has had enough with people. God can get to the point to where he's not going to hear. Not in the sense that he gonna respond. We know he hears all, but not that he's gonna respond or send help, or do what the people need to be done. Why? Because here he plainly tells them to let your collection of idols deliver you. But God knows they can't deliver. Notice what he said. But the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. Look at that. You can't depend on no idols. You cannot depend on anything more so than you can God. You cannot depend upon any person more so than you can God. And that's what I want to get through for somebody tonight. Because notice how he closes this. It is refreshing how he closes this. He said, but he who puts his trust in me shall, that's a promise, possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. In other words, there's a blessing. In other words, God said there's a blessing there for the man or for the woman who will put their trust in me, who will look to me for their deliverance. And that's what you see in Psalm 34:17 as we close. He said the righteous cry out. Notice the Lord hears and delivers, notice, them out of all of their trouble. Notice what God do. He delivers the righteous out of all of their trouble. He helps the righteous. He causes the righteous to escape dangerous and deadly situations. He causes the righteous to escape dangerous and deadly people. Yes, God will deliver his people. He will deliver his people when they cry to him for deliverance, when they lift their voice to him for deliverance. Notice that the wording is plural when the Bible said that the righteous cry, the Lord hears. The Lord hears. Notice deliverance is plural and delivers. Why does it stress it that the Lord hears and that he delivers? Why is it continual? Because of verse 19. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, we're going to go through a whole lot of stuff down here, saints. But if we'll cry out to God for deliverance, the Bible said, but the Lord delivers him of the righteous out of them all. The expectation for a righteous person is that we're coming out of all of our trouble. We're coming out of all of our trouble. It may look bad right now, but I'm going to cry to God for deliverance. And what looked bad, he going to cause good to come out of it. That's the expectation we need as faith walkers. That no matter what you may be going through, you need to cry to him for deliverance. It needs to be a cry for deliverance. And God will cause you to escape. Notice this again. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. See, righteous people go through things. Faith walkers go through things. Stop thinking because you're going through something that something must be wrong. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, of the just, or faith walkers. Faith walkers go through a whole lot of stuff, child of God. But then you got a promise in what you're going through. You have a promise that the idol worshipers don't have. The idol worshipers are headed for disappointment, but you are headed for deliverance. You know what's in your future? Deliverance is in your future. Better is in your future. Bigger is in your future. Why? Because of who you cry to. That's when I'm talking to you about a cry for deliverance. And then finally he said, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. One way or the other, a righteous person is coming out of all of their trouble. They're going to be delivered from all of their afflictions, whether on earth or at the Lord's return or when we be with him. But for a righteous person, you come out of all of it. Final verse and then we're done. Psalm 107. I want to drive this point home a little bit further and then let it go tonight. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're talking about a cry for deliverance. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 verse 19. Notice this. The Bible said they cried out. Psalm 107 verse 19. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Who did they cry to? The Lord. What was going on? They was in trouble. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. It didn't say they cried to the supervisor. Come on. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. It was a cry for deliverance. And watch what happened. The Bible said, and he saved them out of their distresses. Saved them from danger. Saved them from sorrow. Saved them from pain. Saved them from suffering. But notice that again as we bring it to a close. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. In other words, they hadn't set up idols. They weren't looking for help from nowhere else saving God. Child of God, that's how we have to be. That's how you have to be in whatever you're dealing with tonight. You have to be to the point to where in your trouble, in your afflictions, you're going to have a cry for deliverance to God, to the Most High God. And there will be nothing or no one that you will look to above looking to him. This needs to be our lifestyle. This needs to be our lifestyle. Needs to be the way we live today. If we see tomorrow, this needs to be the way we live tomorrow. It needs to be a lifestyle that when I'm in trouble, when I need help, that I'm going to cry to God for deliverance. I'm not going to have any idols. I'm not going to put anything before him. Notice again, I want to read and be done. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. See, that's not a guarantee that a child of God is going to do that. That's what we should do. But that's not always a guarantee that we will do it. Don't take that for granted when the Bible says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And then you assume, well, everybody, no, everybody don't do that. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. But there are folk watching tonight that are in some type trouble, yet they haven't cried out to God. They haven't asked God for deliverance. They haven't asked God for help. They haven't went to God and asked him for a way of escape. They haven't asked him to do something that a doctor said couldn't be done. They hadn't asked him to open up something that man said was closed. But see, he can do it. He can do it. But if you done set up an idol in your life, anything or anyone, then you looking for help. You looking for deliverance from something other than God. And that's a big mistake, which leads to great disappointment. Notice again, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. That's what we have to do, children of God. We have to cry out to God in our trouble. And he saved them. He saved them out of their distresses, or he gave them deliverance. Again, it's a cry for deliverance to God, to the Most High. If you have anything set up in your life, if you're looking to anything more so than God, repent. If you're looking to anybody more so than God, repent tonight. Repent, and he'll surely send you the help that you need, because he's a God that delivers. Amen. We want to take the opportunity to thank you so much for joining us tonight for A Word for Deliverance. We talked about a cry for deliverance. Don't have anything. Don't put anything before God. Don't look to anyone before you look to God. Don't look to anything for help before you look to God. But we are in a season where we are crying out, where we are praying, and where we're asking. And certainly God is making good on his word, and he's going to continue to do it. Again, I want to take the opportunity to thank you for your past, present, and future support for this ministry that helps us to do ministry on a high level. Thank you so very much for just tuning in with us tonight. And until next time, we want to remind you that Jesus is a refuge. God bless you.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.